Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The Lord Jesus Christ commands the New Testament church to go into all the world and make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission in the book of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is a huge distinction between a mere believer in Christ and one who becomes a disciple of our Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, but he does not want his children to ignore nor despise his commandments. Enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled "The Cost of Being a Disciple," and learn what the distinction is between a mere believer and a follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us here on Freedom 95 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., and join us this morning at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69, or find us on Facebook, YouTube, or our website under Crown of Life Baptist Church. email me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula, G-D-Z-U-L-A. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. This is part 5.
A disciple must count the cost. Look at Luke 14. Again, here is a very harsh demand, but with faith all things are possible. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and you're saying, I can't believe you're preaching this passage on Father's Day, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It doesn't say you can't be saved. And that word hate, you have to know who your first love is. And everything else is secondary. Even your spouse, even your children, even your mother, and even your father. Answer that. Hello? If any man come to me and hate not, years ago, and I couldn't answer this passage the way I could answer this passage. But I had a man tell me once, because of that particular passage, he was not going to get saved. He refused to get saved because of that particular passage right there. Many moons ago. But if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, think about the missionaries who left their mothers and fathers, and some left their children behind, went to the mission field in the 1800s, and they didn't come back on furlough every 6 months or every other year. They didn't come back for decades. Some of them would put their children in a boarding school and wouldn't see them for a long time. Any man come to me and hate, or you think of Ananias Judson. I mean, every wife he brought to the mission field died on the mission field. And babies, his babies, he just broke down and cried because the mission field was so harsh, the environment for his family in Burma. Any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Twice he says that. For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost? Okay? I don't know how many of you have intended on building a tower. But if you build something like the deck on your house, or you decide you want to put a new roof on your house or build a barn, you count the cost, right? You determine, well, I need to remodel the kitchen or the bathroom. There's mold behind the wall. I got to remodel. You count the cost before you go and do the work, right? You try to determine if you got the money or not. For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador. Ambassage is the King James way of saying ambassador, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Counting the cost of being a disciple. Peter counted all things in his life, all his prestigious heritage and his credit pedigree as dung. All material things as dung, that he would know him, that he would know Christ. That was talking about not being saved. He was already saved, but having a relationship with him that was extremely close. He cannot be my disciple. We will look at that passage, that phrase, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We'll look at that in another section on being a disciple. A disciple should become obedient unto death, just like his master was. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death. In Revelation 2:10, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. The Lord is talking to the church here. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you endure, like it said here in Matthew 10, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That correlates, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That saved is talking about the same thing as the crown of life. What is the crown of life? The crown isn't the important thing. The crown is only a symbol or a icon of the great reward of ruling and reigning with Christ. What do kings and rulers wear? Crowns. They have a scepter, a crown. some of the old kings had an orb, like a globe kind of thing, or a golden egg. Those were just symbols or symbolism of the great position that you're going to attain of ruling and reigning with Christ on this earth. Yes, you are going to be a king. Amen? You're going to be a king ruling with Christ in this new kingdom where Christ will rule on this earth. That is going to be absolutely amazing. Jesus Christ is going to rule on this earth with a rod of iron, and you're not going to have this wickedness and ungodliness and this silly rhetoric that's pumped over the news airwaves day in and day out. It's going to be a holy earth. I mean, sometimes we can't possibly fathom what that's going to be like. Me sitting on a throne? Me being a king? The parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew 13 points out that there are pitfalls to being a disciple. That every disciple is fraught with distractions, obstacles that could waylay a disciple from his or her end game. The end game is finishing the race, enduring to the end. Even the Apostle Paul was concerned of being a castaway. A castaway. A disciple is gauged by their fruit, Roman numeral 4 in your notes. Fruit gauges if one is a disciple or not. Fruit gauges if one is a disciple or not. But fruit does not gauge if one is a believer or not. Disciples that endure produce good fruit. Fruit is the gauge of a disciple's faithfulness. John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Ye, who? He's talking to believers, disciples, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the people out in this world here who don't believe in Christ. He's talking about those. And he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Because if you're a son of the devil, you're a child of the devil, who is your king? Who is your vine? It's Satan. These Satan worshipers, they're not that a branch of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about believers, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There is a imperative commandment here that you stay abiding with Christ. Because it's easy to fall away. The distractions of this world, the cares of this world, or the fear of being persecuted and not fitting into the mold of the world and the fashions of the world, we can easily fall away. But he says, abide in me and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. What's it say there at the end? So shall ye be my disciple. Fruit bears out, the fruit determines the disciple, if one is a disciple or not. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. The parable of the sower and the seed again. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. You may not understand it right away, but you have a desire to want to understand it. So you keep listening and gleaning more understanding and more understanding and more understanding because you're being washed in the word of God. Heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In Luke 8:15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bringeth forth fruit with patience. That's the parable of the sower version in the book of Luke. Bringeth forth fruit with patience. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, Titus says, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, which means seriousness, thank you, got tongue-tied, sobriety, in all these things showing thyself a pattern of good works. in doctrine showing uncorruptness. Gravity means seriousness, sobriety, sincerity, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. All you sitting out there today are peculiar. You're a peculiar people. You're a peculiar people. What are you doing in church on a Sunday? You're peculiar. Zealous of good works. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to what? Maintain good works, that these things are good and profitable unto men, and let yours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be what? Not unfruitful. Fruit is the gauge to determine a faithful disciple or not. Tabitha, we learn in the scriptures here in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now here's a thought. There are those who say that the Sermon on the Mount is what Jesus was preaching just to the Jews, and that's Old Testament. Well, that's the only place in the scriptures you can hear anything about alms. The giving of alms. And here you have a disciple of Christ, a child of God, Tabitha. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So the Sermon on the Mount is necessary to explain the good works of Tabitha. So the Sermon on the Mount, and I have taught you Wednesday nights. I taught it Sunday night at IBT, the importance of the Sermon on the Mount for the church today. And dispelled the notion that the Sermon on the Mount is not for the church today. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be known by their fruits. In Matthew 7:20. Tells us, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen? Amen. It's important to be a disciple. He only told that rich young ruler to sell everything if you wanted to be perfect. We don't have to sell everything that we have. But we have to understand what we have is the Lord's. He gave it to us all in the first place. It's His. Whatever we have is of God. Our job, our health, our well-being, our brain skills, whatever, God gave us that ability, and we should thank the Lord for those benefits that He loads us up with daily. And understand that those things need to be used not to gain prestige in the world, but to get honor and glory and praise, and hear what someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to lay up your treasures in heaven and be a faithful disciple. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for each person here. Lord, I pray that each person here would draw near to the Lord. If there's a person that knows not Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that each person would desire in their heart to be a disciple. Well, not everybody is called, Lord. We know that you don't call everybody to be full-time ministry, do full-time ministry work. We need some full-time people in the ministry, and we need others to help support ministry work. And Lord, it's not everybody's calling. Lord, I just pray that we would be faithful to your church. The church is the body of Christ. You are the head, a part of abiding in Christ, and him being the vine and we being the branches is abiding in his church, in his work here on earth. Lord, I pray that this is your work, that you will multiply it, help it to be fruitful and grow. And Lord, just bring joy and happiness that to each person here, that they're excited to be a part of this, to be a branch that has been broken off from another work and planted in a different community. And that, Lord, that plant will grow and prosper and bring forth fruit. And Lord, we can't do it without you. And Lord, we just pray for each person here. We pray for their desire for the things of God, their desire to know you better, to delve into your word. We pray that, Lord, you would be honored, exalted, and glorified. And Lord, that we would see the fruit of souls coming to know Christ, those coming back into the fold of the church who have walked away, and Lord, just add on to our numbers. Lord, our doors are open to those who need to find the church. Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.